the actual sequencing and ordering of these things actually matter in terms of how they hit the books and how they materialize, how they add value to our customers, how they add value to Clio. Monetization actually has that viewpoint.
Yo, mic check. What's up, everybody? You're listening to the Street Pricing Podcast, the only show where proven SaaS leaders share their mindset and mistakes in pricing so we can all stop guessing and start growing. Enjoy, subscribe, and tell a friend. Now, let's break it down with your host and sought-after slayer of bad pricing, Marcos Rivera.
What's up, and welcome to the Street Pricing Podcast. I'm Marcos Rivera, founder, author, and pricing coach. And today's guest really excites me that she's here. She's done it all. She's been in the startup world. She's been at a company that has really grown and scaled hyper fast and has seen all the different elements of pricing, monetization, packaging, marketing. We have a wealth of knowledge in front of us, and I'm excited to bring her with us today. So joining us is Min Fitzgerald. She is a director of monetization at Clio. Min, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me here, Marcos.
You have no clue how excited I am, mainly because there's like learnings along the way in a journey, right? What you learn in a startup, what you learn in a big company could be very different. And I have it all in one person. So this is going to be great for my audience, for everyone else. We're going to break this down. But first, I'd love for you to tell us a little bit about you and what you do.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, as you said, like I've just been in a very wide variety of journey. So I kind of started my career in management consulting. You're talking like one of the big fours, doing more analytical, like supply chain type of work. And then, you know, building my own startup after that, right? Health tech startup, and actually, you know, doing all the paid beta testing, getting something out to market, launching that, wrapping that journey up, and then joining Clio. When I joined Clio, we were maybe around 250 people. Now we're sitting at, you know, over 1,000, right? Over the course of almost 5 years, hyper growth.
Crazy.
Yeah. And I joined right after, you know, their Series kind of D announcement at the time. You know, in that time, like very, very ramping up that growth and seeing what they were doing at that time, what was missing as a gap, especially from a pricing perspective, and using that as an effective lever for growth, and then where they are today, and then the future journey that's ahead, which is even going to be, I think, crazier than everything that's happened to date.
Hard to imagine. But that, see, this is why we're in for such a treat. And the reason being is because, again, there's very big inflection points and differences, and you sort of have to think and pivot. And so I think we're going to learn a ton today on the show. And so are you ready to get street with us?
Yes, I am.
All right, let's do it. So a quick roadmap for everybody listening here, right? So this show is based on the book Street Pricing. And so we format it in the same way. We'll have a rewind, a play, and a fast forward. Rewind, tell us a story. Let's talk about a pricing success, a struggle. We can learn from both, right? Then we'll bring it to play, which is what's working today. And what are some of the really effective tools in monetization right now? Then fast forward is a peek into the future. What's next? Where you're going? And then let's unpack that a little bit. Does that sound good?
Yeah, it sounds great.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. So let's go ahead. Let's start off with that story, Min.
You know, I think back in terms of when I first joined Clio, right? So I joined Clio back in 2019, and we actually didn't have a pricing function at that time. I actually joined as the head of product marketing, and that team was super skinny. You know, it was like the team of three. And it's definitely not that today. We're just multiples bigger than that, just for PMM. And, you know, we kind of did pricing more sporadically on a needs basis versus being at the forefront of your monetization and revenue strategy, right? So, you know, luckily for me, this was an area that we did want to dive into right when I joined, and, you know, wanted a full revision of all of our products and service offerings. And we were actually looking for someone to work with at that time. That was you guys. It was a really great journey, actually, having that as an opportunity, like working with you and your team. I mentioned I've done pricing like throughout my career, but it's been done not with the kind of best practice and, you know, methodical, like bringing together all this wealth of knowledge and pricing mechanisms, right? Like that you have, right? In terms of processes that we should be going under. So that actually really opened my eyes to what kind of rigor we should be undergoing, first of all, and what wealth of knowledge actually was out there in terms of actually looking at this in a more methodical and approach that we should be having. So that was really amazing. Anyway, so I loved going super deep with our pricing, right? Understanding our customers and the segmentation that we have, right? And really what we started doing was digging into the law firm maturity model, right? Which we actually developed. It's one of our, IP that we have as a leading LPM. And using that as a basis to get very deep into what does our customer need? What do they want? You know, what are they willing to buy? And actually crafting that journey through our pricing and packaging strategy. When you look at our plan construct now, it actually really does follow that, right? You have your easy start. That's your, hey, like get started right away with your time tracking and billing functionality to, you know, when you're getting to be a more mature law firm and needing more, you can actually go and buy those advanced plans. And, you know, over time, we've started, you know, adding in things like, okay, what are different add-ons that you could add onto that mix, et cetera. It's nice to have that strategy and clarity. And I think that's the biggest win. The struggle definitely has been, you know, like pricing not being at the forefront. But I think also with that, there's been resistance when I joined Clio to actually like monetizing our value.
Crazy. That's nuts.
Yeah.
How can they say no to making more money? But I get it. I get it.
Yeah. Yeah. They're like, they're just so, they just love their customers so much and they want to give outsized value. And I think it came from that place, right?
Mm-hmm. I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, I think that's probably one of the biggest wins. And I mean, over time, we've seen some massive benefits of that, right? You're seeing actually launching that pricing strategy actually resulted in, you know, better NRR, like ARPA, ARPU lift. You're looking at ability to innovate more because of that, right? Like you're building better and bigger product teams. You're building bigger and better CS and other areas to better support our customers. So, you know, all in all, you're driving growth in your business and also helping your customers.
That's a big one. I think a lot of folks, when they think about pricing or monetization, making money, it feels like a one-way street. It's like, I am making money for my benefit, no benefit for the client. But when you think about value, it's kind of like a circle, right? Where if you build a value, you give it to them, and then you capture some of it, you can actually then build more value and give it to them and then capture some of it, right? And so it's more of a virtuous cycle in a circle than it is really a one-way street of how much money can I get from you, right? I think people need to maybe reframe it a little bit, especially founders who have maybe a soft spot for the customer, right? Maybe they were there at one point in time and they're like, oh, I feel bad charging. But no, I mean, if you're really helping, you charge, you get your fair share, and then you help some more, right? That's kind of the big circle. I love you guys reframe that. So resistance and the forefront, right? People don't want to go, how did you kind of get them past that and keep things moving?
Yeah, I think it's actually demonstrating this value. I think bringing forward, like, you know, some of the surveying we did actually really helped. So actually, you know, surveying our customers, understanding like what they valued the most, what they valued maybe like the least out of like our features, what they were, you know, what they thought was actually even a fair value to pay. But also, you know, getting that data like all across the business from like product to sales to CS, like, and bringing everyone together in one room actually was very helpful because, I mean, as a company gets bigger, like they do operate more in these silos, right? So it just kind of naturally happens. And, you know, the more and more you can bring these like strategic conversations to the forefront in one place, I think is really beneficial.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So you're pointing out a very important thing is as you hit different milestones, right, of revenue growth, of team growth, you start seeing layers coming in. And then all of a sudden, your goals start to break down into these different areas. And then you have leads in different areas. And then that starts to create, I think, the ability to do on a functional basis more things. But then it starts to create a little bit of a disconnect between those guys, right? And that's where pricing kind of sits, is this kind of cross-section of sales and marketing and product and CS and all these things. And it gets harder and harder to keep that line of sight. And that's how I think a lot of companies start to lose, like, uh-oh, like we don't really have a good muscle around pricing, right? So this is where, I mean, you said what, like 100 or 200 or 1,000 people or something like that. That's when this stuff happens, right? Super, super natural, super normal. So you started demonstrating, right? You started getting people over to your side. How did you take it from there?
I think that actually redoing all of our plans and packages and launching them for the first time actually really helps solidify like these relationships, right? Because you start seeing how you operationalize that. You're working with every team to like get it out. And then after it goes out, you're then working with sales to, you know, be really, really on the ground, as well as CS on how are these actually performing? How is the response, right? And it's been overwhelmingly positive, right? And so they're like, wow, like these guys, like this is like a great experience. Like we should be doing this more often. Like this is a real benefit for everybody and our customers. So I think it just the success of our first pricing program actually really helped with this. And, you know, from that, actually a lot of other things have shifted. So for instance, now pricing is at every discussion of every single new product launch and release that we do. There's a full consideration set, you know, how does that this actually fit into our existing, you know, our construct that we have today? What is, what kind of incremental value is this actually driving? When is that value going to translate into enough that, you know, we should factor this into annualized kind of review cycles? Like there's all of these pieces that are now there that it actually has enabled. So now it's just like, we're just, everyone just comes to us naturally.
So nothing like real results to kind of change minds and get people going, right? And I think that's one of the key things here is that I think there is a big wall or barrier up until that first change, right? I've talked to companies that haven't changed pricing in like 5, 6, even 10 years, right? And they haven't touched it. They're kind of like, just leave it alone. And but not realizing the value and power of that lever. But once they do it, they're like, hey, okay, what's next? And then got to almost like the pendulum swings the other way. You got, hey, hold on, we can't be changing pricing like every month here, right? So
exactly.
there's a balance to it. But I think that you're right, that you have to show them like, look, this is a good thing. And then once you demonstrate that, then the minds start to shift over naturally, right? So if I had to think about how much time do you think it took or effort to get there, in your opinion?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, it was like an evolutionary process, and I almost look at it as having like these rhythms to it, right? So, you know, you have like your massive skeptics, right? And that was like the first time we did it, like in like 2022, when we actually ended up rolling it out. Like that entire kind of end-to-end process probably actually took a good, you know, year and a half. Right. But then after, it started accelerating fairly significantly. So, you know, this process that took a year and a half, now, you know, we do kind of end to end within months. Right. So it's shortened down by an order of magnitude. And I think it'll be like what's happened over time is like I've started partitioning out different types of like our pricing programs and what I call like this kind of core, you know, pricing program like that has shortened down to months versus the 18 months. Net new areas are shifting, right? Like other ones where there's like product releases or like net new kind of like standalone products. That's different. But yeah, that has almost shortened down by like, I don't know, like over 200%, right? Like that's crazy.
That is crazy.
Time frame.
Like 200%, like that is nuts. And I will say if you really play that back, right? I read this book, Crossing the Chasm by Jeffrey Moore a long time ago, right? And it's kind of like with pricing, you get over that hump, it actually becomes a lot easier and you build confidence and you start seeing where the signals are and understanding it a little better and you start getting better at it. Like any muscle, right? You start doing it more, you'll get better at it. And it's just that first one that's really tough for a lot of B2B SaaS companies that are out there. And you know, you could go at it alone and do the learning and ramp up. You could bring in outside help to make that faster, better, whatever it is. But either whatever path you take, you still have to kind of do the work, right? And get over that chasm, get over that hump. And so now that you're doing it on the months, I'm wondering, like getting there again was not an overnight success. If you had to look back and say, you know what? The one takeaway I would tell anyone about our journey is this. What would it be?
I think what you've touched on, which is like pricing does cut at every single layer of an organization, and it's getting these buy-ins organization-wide to be able to do it, right? So now we have very strong relationships across every department, whether it be sales, revenue operations, like CS to marketing to product. Like we are at the forefront of those. And so, you know, when it comes to getting buy-in for new programs or lifts, like we're able to like secure secure that very easily and quickly. Whereas at the beginning, it was just like, it was like these very challenging conversations we had for sure.
And they poke at everything, and then they probably want to see data that you probably don't even have in some areas. And it does make it for a hard sell up front. But sounds like that big, once you're over that piece, and you kind of have to do the do to kind of get there. But once the results come in, that's where I think then everything kind of slopes down and makes it a lot easier to keep plowing forward. So team, I want to take a quick pause here to ask you for a huge favor that'll mean a lot to me. Please review and share the show. Share it with your team, your friends, your peers. Not only will it help them stop the guesswork in pricing, but it'll also help you and increase the chances that you'll take action and change for yourself. All right. Much love. Now back to the show.
One of the biggest things that like CS will be nervous about, and even like product, is like, hey, are we going to have massive customer churn when we actually, you know, change like customers over to like new plans and like packages and prices? So, you know, that was something that we had a laser focus on, right? The first time we did it, how we decided to craft that was taking a really, really deep, like customer level viewpoint pretty much to this approach. So everything was done fully bottom up. I have a really great team that can drive that type of analysis, but you know, we're looking at how is this customer doing like as a whole, like what's their NPS? What is their product utility? Like what is their, you know, overall kind of total cost of ownership when it comes to how much they're spending? How much are we actually changing that with this change? What do we think are reasonable changes to that customer? And we actually toggled that at a customer level based on what our hypotheses were. And then we also did like micro tests and pilots within each cohort to, you know, determine, hey, is this actually performing at, you know, the expected, you know, customer response rate that we had. And so, you know, we did some very, very slow rollouts, and we actually still take a very measured approach today, right? And that is really like the secret sauce to, I think, how we're able to execute and have the confidence, is that we run a really tight ship in terms of actually operationalizing all of this. And this actually runs on an annualized cadence. So, you know, when I'm saying like, yeah, we can launch it within months, yeah, that's like new pricing launches, right? That was public. But on the back end, we're operationalizing constantly.
That makes a ton, because there's those components matter, right? Coming up with the model is actually only one part of the whole thing, right? You actually need to operationalize it, launch it, communicate it, like set up your infrastructure. All those things need to happen because you're, you know, this is kind of how you make money. It's kind of important, right? But you said something really, really interesting, is the way you're breaking it down. And this is where in any problem that you're facing, if it could be insurmountable, if you're just looking at it as, oh my God, this, we got to change this pricing thing. But if you break it down, it actually becomes a little bit easier to then start attacking it in these smaller chunks. And I'm thinking about how you broke down your customer base and really got understanding like the differences between them. And then you did these micro tests, which I love that, by the way, like these micro tests and by cohort and breaking it down and kind of seeing what happens. And of course, that doesn't you know, happen overnight. You get good at it as you do it. But by breaking it down to those by a cohort micro test, you're able to then sort of then create a bit of a agility in your pricing motion, which is beautiful. I think a lot of companies would love to get there. That's fantastic.
Yeah, no, I'm very proud of my team with where we've gotten to with that approach.
Oh for man, sure. Big break it down. I love that. Break it down. I think it's a big key there. I love that, and huge story, big takeaways on that one as well. Let's bring us into the present, all right? Let's go into play and let's see what's working really well today from a monetization perspective. What are you like, ooh, I'm glad we did that, or glad we're doing that?
Yeah. I mean, I think I started touching on it, you know, but like because of all the success that we've had just with the, you know, the like being able to set our pricing and packaging strategy for Clio, we were then able to move on to like really digging in around where does monetization and pricing conversations sit as we are continuing to be like product innovators in the space, right? So I mentioned that, you know, Clio is like the leading LPM or legal practice management software for those that aren't deep into LPMs, but I don't expect that. but yeah, like, I mean, we've made, you know, everything from like new acquisitions to drive growth, but also like we're we're innovating like crazy. So like you're always going to see feature enhancements or, you know, new add-ons that are going to be added, right? So at like a fairly fast clip. And, you know, every time that happens, as I mentioned, like we didn't have like a process in place to incorporate thoughts around how we're going to monetize that product. You know, what is the competitive landscape that we're actually, you know, looking at? Like, how do we compare against other competitors? You know, what are the value perceptions of this already out there that's in market? If we're not, then like, how are we going to proxy that value when we, you know, launch this? Are we going to be, you know, change, like, what is this add-on going to be actually charged at? Like, what is an appropriate charge model? How should we test this, right? Like, what is the, you know, how are we going to do this willingness to pay test or, you know, like get an understanding of that through our, you know, alpha or beta testing and, you know, before we actually go to GA or launch. And like all of those are now at like really, really a lot more refined. Like we've developed processes. We have this very fantastic relationship with product and engineering even, right? To actually be part initially of those conversations. Whereas before we might have been pulled in, hey, we're launching something. What should we price it at?
Oh man. Oh, I've been there. Again, I was a product person for many years and I've been there. It's like, oh, wait a minute, we got to price this thing. It does come at the very last minute, right? How did you, in that line, I've really loved the getting close with product and engineering just to, because there's values changing, right? And as the value is changing, you got to be thinking about, all right, are we capturing the right value? How are we doing this? And the big trap a lot of companies fall into, I'm just being real with everybody, is they just kind of throw stuff in for free. Like they don't know, right? And so,
exactly.
And it's about to launch. And what do we do? And I don't know. I don't want to complicate things. Let's just toss it in for free. Hey, it's more value to the customer, right? It's more value that you're not capturing, bringing it back in-house so you can then build more value. You're breaking the circle, right? In the guise of giving more value. And I think the idea here is bringing them close. Like it's okay to have the hard conversation that, yeah, this might take some engineering work to get in place, or this is something that it's not going to be in this release for the roadmap. It might be later. Like it's okay to do those things up front. So when you run into like, say an obstacle with those guys with maybe engineering saying, ooh, that's going to be a pretty high level of effort to do it that way. Like, do you have a framework or how do you guys kind of get past some of those things?
So something I've done very recently is sort of like form a, like forge those relationships. So I actually created different forums with product leadership, as well as some of these like engineering and revenue ops, like systems leadership as well. So I've actually created these forums to actually escalate and prioritize like key areas of decision that we need to be making as a business, right? Like pricing is, or monetization is like a really, it should be a center of excellence, like at any organization, but especially as we get to the size and scale to like, cause we understand what the impact of that is going to be. So we're able to create, like help create, like in my case, I'm sort of putting on my old product hat and like my old founder hat, right? But saying, okay, well, you know, if we were to actually create a framework or try to make decisions, like we should look at the financial kind of possibility and impact. How are we going to juggle this with like existing things on our roadmap and different trade-offs that we're going to be making, and actually holding those folks together to have those conversations and really, really tightening aligning on like a new, like if we need to change like a decision-making framework, for instance, actually even like helping with all of that, like I kind of just interjected myself to helping with these because otherwise, exactly. Because otherwise, like we kind of have this problem of, you know, different. What I find interesting is, you know, like, and like how an organization will divide pieces when it gets to the size is they'll have very specific groups of engineering groups or product groups that are working on their portfolio that do not have an understanding of the overall company trade-offs and impact, right? So the actual sequencing and ordering of these things actually matter in terms of how they hit the books and how they materialize, how they add value to our customers, how they add value to Clio. Monetization actually has that viewpoint. So because of that, like I've kind of interjected myself into all of these conversations nicely to you know, kind of bring folks together and show gaps in our thinking and to surface ways that we need to like help each other make the better decisions for our business.
Yeah, super smart, super smart. You are connecting those dots all the way across, and you're showing that. I love that you just kind of inserted yourself like, oh, excuse me, elbow, let me come on into this. But I think it's smart. I think it's right. I think pricing does deserve a pretty visible seat on the table when it comes to these things because of the thoughtfulness, right? The second, third, fourth order down, like what happens when you charge for this or don't charge for that? And where are we going as a company and how our customers are changing? What are competitors doing? Like all those pieces, so many moving parts. You have to do pricing very intentionally and thoughtfully, not just throwing numbers out there into the wind, see what sticks and see what happens. I think your business and your customers deserve a lot better, right? And so I'm 100% behind a lot of that. Now, if that seems like a really like solid, good working system, but now let's move on to fast forward in the future. So what is next? It seems like you got it all figured out, right? So where do you go from here?
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Clio just tries to do it all. So I would say
ambitious. I know.
Very ambitious. Yeah. I think the next stage of evolution, and we started to see this at Clio already, is this multi-product evolution and growth of the company, right? So as we're already the leading LPM, you know, in North America. And we also have, you know, EMEA, APAC, other regions. And, you know, so that there's global expansion happening, but there's also a lot more products and innovation and like, who knows, any acquisitions that could come down the pipe too, right? So we could end up with a significantly expanded product and service offering set for our customers. And, you know, one of the things that keeps me up at night is, how are we going to not lose momentum on our, you know, like sales velocity, as well as like not confuse our customers with everything we have? Like we started off with like manage and grow, like very simple products, right? But now we have like Clio Draft, which is like a document automation solution. We have like multiple add-ons like personal injury and HIPAA. And then you start adding in, you know, grow and like calendar rules or other types of functionality. It just seems it would be confusing for customers to buy. So what the next step from a pricing perspective is building our, you know, packaging and bundling strategy so that we can really streamline the ways that our customers can experience, you know, and we can actually direct the value that they need to get based on, you know, their profile and composition, and also really help our sales teams be able to sell at the same velocity, right? And not have to like pick and choose all of these and actually truly guide them. So I think that's the next evolution for Clio as we continue our growth.
And piece of cake, all of that, right?
Yeah, that'd be very easy. No.
It's never a piece of cake, right? You got to earn that extra value, I'll tell you that. But I love it because it is the multi-product play. You're solving more problems for more folks. And there's just a natural complexity, right? There's more options. The number of combinations go up exponentially, like, or non-linearly. And it's just really tough to, you know, keep your arms around all of that, just because there's still humans selling to other humans and, you know, humans using it at the end of the day, right? So you still have to manage through and cut through the complexity cycle that naturally starts to creep in as you expand, right? That's a big one there. And you're right, bundling and making some thematic chunks of value that go in our position towards different customers makes a lot of sense to cut down and cut through that, right? I think that's fantastic. Huge lesson for a lot of SaaS leaders right now listening that are maybe going multi-product and trying to figure out, okay, how do I get my arms around monetizing all this new system versus before I was just more of a point solution, right? Big lesson for everyone. But I'm picking up on a little theme here as you keep talking. I feel like there's this fearlessness with Clio, right? You had the guts to tackle pricing. You had the guts to bring in an outside expert to help accelerate, you know, the learning and the thinking. You had the guts to get everybody on board, have the tough trade-offs, the tough conversations, to do these micro tests to really get deep with the customer. And then now to get in a nice rhythm and, like you said, change pricing in a matter of months, or just, you know, being able to do all that, it takes a lot of guts because you're touching a very important nerve within the business, right? So a big hats off to you and props for a lot of that. I think our listeners today, our audience, learned a ton. I think they should think through and how to break down that pricing, right? You have a big lesson for everybody as we go to wrap up?
for pricing experts that are out there, it's like you're like, I think you're the nerve center of the business if you don't realize it already, and like be fearless in the ways that you have your conversations and show your value, because once they see it, I think it's really going to change the way that the organization is going to work and move forward. So yeah, I think so hopefully that's a good lesson. I just think this is the best area ever that you could ever end up in.
It's so much fun, especially when it's working and you're seeing the levers and you're seeing the value. It is great to get into a rhythm like you guys. So thank you for coming on here today, sharing all of these insights, unpacking that with us. I think the audience took away a ton, and we'd love to know, would you be willing to come back in the future, maybe give us an update?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Awesome. But before I let you run away, I have my favorite question, and I got to know, just to give everybody a little glimpse into men, I want to know what your favorite jam was growing up, your favorite song. Doesn't have to be hip hop, just could be whatever motivates you and you're happy to listen to over and over again.
I actually used to listen to, Independent Women by Destiny's Child.
Yes.
Very often.
Yes.
Yeah, when I was growing up. I mean, yeah, it's just, it's probably the first time where it's like really, when you're starting to form your thoughts around how to perceive value and like the things that you could do. I think for me, it's like, I'm a pretty, it's a value that I have, right, in terms of how I live my life, even like with my partner, like we're very like equal in a lot of things. So yeah, it's a good song.
I love it. Strong, independent, Beyonce style independent. I love
Queen
that.
Queen B, right?
That is super cool. No, that is, I think, another reason why you're so fearless, what I was just saying a few minutes ago. And so really, that resonates, I think, with a lot of folks out there, that being that strong, independent in how you think and how you think where you can insert value. Maybe it takes a little bit of that to, put that elbow out there and move folks out the way to really get the attention it deserves. So big lesson on that front as well. Team, that is Min Fitzgerald. Now, if you heard a few things that she mentioned today that can add value to you, apply these things on Monday, get 1% better as you continue to grow, continue to progress. All right. And now remember, you want to stop guessing and start growing. Until next time.
Thank you and much love for listening to the Street Pricing Podcast with Marcos Rivera. We hope you enjoyed this episode, and don't forget to like and subscribe. If you want to learn more about capturing value, pick up a copy of Street Pricing on Amazon. Until next time.